Welcome to TBF, a Browns fans podcast.
Shotgun snap. Here's Flacco looking, throws left sideline, caught. Ford's got it. He's in. Touchdown. Now the Browns take the opening kickoff. And on a night where they can punch their ticket, they just punch the Jets. Flacco under center from the 70. Give it to Hunt. He's at the 5. He's going in. Touchdown. Kareem Hunt from 7 yards out. He blasts.
God, it's the superstition episode, episode 13 of TBF, a Browns fans podcast. And this one here's a throwback in many ways, and we'll get to that right after we get into this. Browns have clinched a playoff spot. They're the 5 seed in the AFC. What will they do this week? Who will they play? Who won't they play? Who might they acquire this week to help and aid in a playoff push? All up next on TBF, a Browns fans podcast. Hey. So, ladies and gentlemen, the surprise of the week. Back by popular demand. That's what it is. It's Alva. Alva, say hey to the folks at TBF.
This Browns fans.
That's right. TBF. That's what the TBF is for, boys. It used to go, what? I'm Paul. I'm Alva.
And I'm Alva.
And we are. And we won't sync it up because we're on the line, so don't try it. It'll sound real bad. But this Browns fan.
And this Browns fan.
And we did 13 straight years hoping for a time like this, didn't we, Alva?
Wow.
Yep, sure did. Mm-hmm.
And
matter of fact, I did a Tim Kiernan, took a hiatus.
Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't hold your breath.
And shout out to Tim Kiernan. How you doing, bud? Hope you're listening. And we got something to talk about, man. The Browns. I was so proud of them on Thursday night. Football. In a game where they had it in front of them to clinch. And yeah, I can only say this one thing is I was really glad they got it all done in the first half because it didn't look like they had any left in the second.
I'm just saying, man, that second half was like, what is going on?
Hey, come on, Joe was getting a nap.
That's right, on the sideline.
That's right. Well, he's going to have to manage that sleep cycle because there's going to be no naps in the playoffs, boys.
No naps.
No naps in the playoffs. So I think one of the things that's impressive, and here's an observation. By the way, guys, here's what I'm going to do. I'm fixing to, and by the way, listeners, you may notice Jeff's not here. He will be joining us, okay? He had some other things that had to be taken care of, which were, trust me, very important, because he wouldn't miss the beginning if he didn't have to. And he's certainly not going to miss the whole show because there are things to talk about. But guys, I'm fixing to, I'm fixing to write a new text here and send it to the group of you guys. I'm gonna, this is going to be going to Alva, and this is going to be going to Hugh, and then we'll put Jeff on there, and he can ask why he got it, if he wants to. But it should be fairly obvious, kind of thing. I was watching this video, okay. And I just went ahead and screened. You know how you ask, if you're an old dude with an iPhone, right, Alva? You end up screenshotting half the time when you're just trying to shut your phone down and you accidentally take a screenshot. Well, I did this on purpose. Yeah. How about that? I did this on purpose.
Well, you didn't have to go get a youngin.
I didn't have to go get a youngin or anything, man. It was like, oh, shit. I made it work.
Yeah. There you go.
That's funny. Didn't have to go get a youngin.
That's it. That's it, guys. That's it. That's it. You know, look, we got, it's the little things that count. It's the little things.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So, but check this out. You guys should get this here momentarily. You know, the internet takes a little time. It's not instantaneous as some would have us believe. But this was Peter King. This was Peter King on NBC Sports, okay? And he basically, the kind of category he put this in with the conversation, he's talking with that young African-American kid whose name I can't remember. I don't want to call it wrong, but he's always on with Tom Florio on Pro Football Talk when Chris Sims is not, okay? And that's, this was Peter King and that guy. And they talked a couple things, but at the end of the conversation, he says, I got one. I guess it falls into the I'm just saying category. Okay. And it's the tale of two quarterbacks. You guys got the picture? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So you look, it's got Deshaun Watson, 12 games that he's played, to Joe Flacco's 5 games that he's played. And if you look at the completion percentage, it's they're within points of each other, 59.8 for Deshaun, 60.3 for Joe. Deshaun, 14 touchdowns. Joe, 13. Deshaun, 9 interceptions. Joe, 8. Okay, now Deshaun did that over 12 games. Joe, over 5. Deshaun's getting paid $93.1 million. Joe, $800K. Just saying, okay? Just saying. So, and the question has come up to me in conversation, too, because, you know, as the Browns have gotten more popular, more people have started watching them with consistency, even those that are non-Browns fans, because everybody likes a good story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And right. So one of the questions that was asked of me was, why did the running game show up so big in New York when it hadn't in the last few weeks? I mean, it kind of like gone away, right?
Unless New York is just not good at defending.
Okay. Well, okay, Alva, let me just give you a brief. Since Joe Flacco's come in, the running game has been all but absent, you know? I mean, yeah, he's passing for 300 yards a game and winning games, but you're getting, like, total combined effort, 82 fucking yards, you know? And that's just, you know, that's certainly not playoff football, but what they did, you know, at home on Thursday night hosting the Jets was an actual respectable running game. And Ford was just on fire.
Dude, right. Ford, that's, I mean, I don't know where the Jets are at defending the run. That could have something to do with it.
No, let me tell you exactly what it had something to do with. As Flacco came in, people were saying, okay, Browns, we're taking your run game away. If you're going to beat us with the old dude. And they were boxing it up.
I don't believe that.
They were boxing it up. You were looking at 8-9. You know, you were looking at full box. What Joe Flacco has done with his 300 yards a game passing and the kind of accuracy he's throwing it down the field, he's busting open that box.
Yeah, right.
They got to drop back. They got to drop back. So it's the Browns' play at the quarterback position, which has, in fact, opened the running game. Here's another interesting thing. Joe Flacco has the best numbers in the league on play action pass, but more specifically, play action pass out of the shotgun. Okay, the numbers are ridiculous. He's almost 100% play action pass out of the gun.
That fake handoff for play action that he does, that one that they caught, is like unbelievable what he did.
Again, it pales in comparison to the best I've ever seen, which is Steve DeBerg and Boomer Esiason. Okay. But active quarterbacks, yeah, Joe's got the best play action fake out there. Okay, but it ain't the best I've ever seen. Okay. But
you know, I wish I could have seen Steve DeBerg through
That's true.
You know, the video that we got now versus what we had back when DeBerg was playing, I wish we could have seen that.
Oh, they got good. No, they had good. There's good film on it out there. I've gone back and watched some DeBerg with the Chiefs, which was when he was, you know, really good. You know, of course, some of the most messed up football you'll ever see, too, because if you remember when Steve DeBerg broke his finger and the bone is sticking out and he's still playing.
Oh, my God. I forgot all about that.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, speaking of running back and the Cleveland Browns, something happened today and the Browns should act. The Jets cut Dalvin Cook. The Jets cut Dalvin
Cook. I thought they should get him and Landry.
The Jets cut Dalvin Cook. But if you were going to get one or the other, Jarvis Landry or Dalvin Cook, you're a Browns fan right now going into the playoffs, who do you want?
Well, if Elijah Moore can't play, I would get Landry.
No, that's not what. Forget whether Elijah Moore can play or not, because you got Cedric Tillman and Marquise Goodwin. Okay, you got a full receiver set to go into the playoffs with.
I'd say get them both.
Okay. I said you can only have one. I said you can only have one. You can have Dalvin Cook.
Then I would get Dalvin
Cook. Okay, you can have Dalvin Cook or you can have Jarvis Landry. Who do you want?
I don't know who Dalvin Cook is.
Dalvin Cook was the guy that was in competition for the rushing title when he was with the Vikings. They signed him and brought him over to the Jets to be the running back complement to Aaron Rodgers.
I'm getting a receiver. I'm not worried about the running game. I'm getting a receiver.
Okay. All right. That was my thought too, Alpha. I mean, yeah, it would be nice, but how hard would it be for a back that hadn't run in the system you're running this year to come in and be effective at back in that system, where in Jarvis Landry, you'd get a guy, he already knows this system. Okay.
Right. I agree with that. Yeah. But I'm just saying they need more receivers. They don't need no running backs. We're kind of like Pittsburgh used to be. You know what I mean? We can call somebody off the street.
That's true.
We got enough of them.
Especially if you've got Joe Flacco pushing it down the field and opening up those boxes. Right. Because, look, the safeties and the linebackers have to respect it. When you exploit it, look, if they're going to dare you, okay, if you're going to beat me with Joe Flacco, who's going into a game with the Browns now and saying that as their game plan?
They're not.
Right.
Right, because 5 in a row, Joe won 4 and almost won the one against the Rams. I mean, look, Nacua, what's his name for the Rams, the receiver, he's got my vote for rookie of the year. And it's between him and C.J. Stroud. And I'll tell you this. If Stroud doesn't come out and have another game like he had this past week, his first game back from the concussion protocol, I think Nacua gets it if Nacua has his typical game with the Rams.
You know, my only thing with Joe in the playoffs is got to cut down on the interceptions.
Oh,
well, I disagree. That he's a pick machine.
Well, he's thrown 9 in 5 games, guys.
A lot of those weren't his fault, though, and I have to admit.
8. I'm sorry. He's thrown 8.
Right. But you got to understand, he just come in the system. But what I'm saying is, if you go back and look at him when he was a Raven and stuff like that, he threw heads over heel, more touchdowns than interceptions.
Oh.
And you said oh, no, won no. a game. You said won a game. I don't even think, you know, well, a lot of those years it wasn't won a game.
I saw another snapshot. Wish I had a screenshot of that one because I could send it to you guys, but I did not. And I couldn't remember what video it was on because I was thinking about trying to go back and do it, but didn't. They did a comparison of the same stretch of games, you know, going up to the Super Bowl year, okay, with the Ravens. And Joe Flacco's stats this year with the Browns and his stats that year with the Ravens are virtual. It's like looking into a mirror. And that is complete with the amount of interceptions, guys. Everything was right on the money. He's right there. Yeah. And if any of the numbers are different, his numbers this season are slightly better. Okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're looking at is Joe Flacco performing at a level he did in the season that he went to the Super Bowl, won it, and won MVP, which was 11 years ago in the Super Bowl that happened in 2013. Okay.
I have a lot of confidence in Joe Flacco. I think that two picks a game could be different in the playoff and more detrimental than it is during regular season. So hopefully that won't be a problem.
Well,
only thing, I don't know. Maybe if he gets a game where he throws two, three, might be different. But Joe Flacco's cool, dude. I love something about him. I only peeked in a couple times, Paul. But I really didn't even delve into history, you know what I mean, and percentages and who his receivers were or nothing like that. But there's just something about him that it's like the whole team just feels more confident with him back there, even if he throws an interception. And it seems like he lets it go. It doesn't bother him. It doesn't rattle him.
Oh, right. No. The beautiful part about a veteran with the level of experience that Flacco has, he has been there and done that, guys, the good and the bad. Okay?
Unflappable.
I get pain. Okay. I don't know. You know, listen, flappable, unflappable. Joe's about to play. If we got to get past the first round of the playoffs, you're going to have to beat the South champion, whoever that is, whether it's Jacksonville, Texas, or the Colts. Now, we've proved this year that we can beat any of those three teams because we beat them. I heard one guy on one show, I can't even remember who it was. He said, but the Browns are the champions of the South if they're not the champions of the North. That's for damn sure. Okay.
Damn sure.
Okay, because we just beat everybody in the doggone division. Okay, so I'm not worried about the wild card round.
Yeah. So here's the question: he's not that familiar with the receivers,
right?
Because you know they ain't around. So how much do you play him against the Bengals?
Oh, you don't play Flacco at all. As a matter of fact, yeah, you don't play Flacco at all. Now, Kevin Stefanski is being coy about this, but I think the Browns have telegraphed the exact move that's going to happen. And the only open question to me is this. But here's the headline for you. Browns signed veteran quarterback ahead of season finale against Bengals. And they signed Jeff Driscoll. Okay. They signed Jeff Driscoll.
Who?
Jeff Driscoll.
Okay.
Driscoll was with the Arizona Cardinals. And I'm trying to remember what coach he played under, but he was with, and they ran the basic same offense that the Browns are running now. Okay.
Right.
So he's familiar with the offense. And you got PJ Walker and him. So just, I would say, unless Flacco for some ungodly reason, and I wouldn't know what that was, insists on playing. And by the way, he may
play him a quarter. Jeff, I think you pay him at least a quarter.
Joe Flacco has an incentive in his contract, which gives him an extra $75,000 a game that he wins in the regular season. Okay,
right.
He earned $250,000 by achieving a playoff berth. Okay, if he wins in the wild card round, he gets a half a milli. Okay. He gets 750. Okay. If he wins in the divisional round, he gets a mil. If he wins the AFC championship game, he gets $2 million if he wins the Super Bowl. Okay. That's the kind of contract he negotiated.
Okay.
Lot of incentive for that guy. But again, come on. We know what's happened with the Browns as far as injuries go this season. Okay. And you know, you've secured a playoff berth. You're the 5 seed, whether you win or lose.
Right.
It's hard to imagine that they're going to play him at all unless he insists. I guarantee you're not going to see Myles Garrett in the game. Myles Garrett came out in a press conference after the game and revealed his uncle died, his mother's brother. And he was really down. He was really down when everybody else was happy and celebrating. And he, you know, he kind of bared his soul to the press. And if you haven't seen that press conference, I would watch it if I were you. It was very revealing about the kind of character the young man has.
This was right after the game?
Right after the game on Thursday, yeah.
Okay. All right.
So, you know, a lot of stories going on when it comes to the Browns. And there's a whole lot to be said for momentum. But given what these guys have fought through, right, risking more injury on this already just ravaged team when it comes to that, given the accomplishment, you're going to have to – it's a tough call for Stefanski, I agree. But you got to weigh the balance. And, of course, when asked whether he was going to play or start any number of people, Kevin Stefanski's only answer at his press conference was, we're still working through that.
Yeah, because they have a lot of injuries and still only 53-man roster versus what was in the preseason. So they got to figure it all out.
Now, if my intuition is right on this, you're going to see a lot of guys get put on the pup for this week. You know, anything that doesn't have any multi-week restrictions that they can put them out of active roster status. And they're going to probably clean the bench on the practice squad and bring them in. You know?
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Interesting to watch.
I just think Flacco is going to play. I don't know how much he's going to play. I just have a feeling he's going to play.
Okay.
And I think that if things seems to be too tough, that he's getting too much heat,
right,
I just see him pulling him quick. You know what I mean?
Because it is a good opportunity for a tune-up game. Remember, the Browns have the Bengals' number, it seems, no matter what, right?
Yeah, right.
Even when we sucked, we beat the Bengals, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we had to go to the ultimate low of lows not to have a one win against the Bengals, because I think the year we went 1-16, I think that win was against the Bengals. Of course, we weren't happy with that, so we said, no, we want to lose them all. We're competing with Detroit here. Hey, how good would that be if this year's Super Bowl is Detroit and Cleveland?
That would be a phenomenal Super Bowl.
Yeah, it would be. Yes, it would be.
Listen, man, that would be great. I would be like, that's so awesome.
Well, listen, if we got anybody, and the Browns are doing it all the time, not just at the goal line, almost every other play you hear, lineman so-and-so is reported as eligible. You better make sure the goddamn official gets your number right, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because
the Lions didn't do
Detroit.
The Lions didn't do that, and the Lions aren't pissed off about it because it didn't matter a damn to them, because they'd already clinched their division. Nothing's going to change their seeding.
Coach was initially pissed off, but
but in the long run, no harm, no foul. Who got harmed was the fucking Philadelphia Eagles, who were in the process of harming themselves by losing their game to Arizona. Okay. But Dallas, by virtue of that bad call, sold up the second seed, and the Eagles now have to play out of a wild card spot. No chance.
So who do we play in the wild card? Miami.
We are going to play the winner of the South, because the winner of the South will be the 4 seed. The 4 plays the 5.
Yeah, it's either the Texans, the Jacksonville Jaguars, or the Indianapolis Colts.
Or the Colts. And honest to goodness, because I view those games in the AFC South are going to be some of the few games in the AFC that are actually, you know, if it's a AFC, if it's one of those three AFC South participants, they're going to be playing their hearts out for a playoff spot, because that's the winner you're in and lose you're out kind of thing.
Yeah. Who would you rather play against? I'd like the Jags.
Sure, but can the Jags stand up and win one? I mean, goddamn, man. I mean, have they won a game since we played them?
I don't know.
I don't think they have. There was a time not many weeks ago that people were talking about the Jags and the one seed, guys. And they just,
I know, no doubt.
So the Browns aren't playing the number two seed.
No. The four plays the five. See, the one plays it's four, five, six. The one plays the six. Okay?
Yeah.
The two. No, I'm saying the one plays the seven. The two plays the six. Right here, I gotta look at it. All I know is the four seed plays the five. Okay.
Yeah, and we don't know who the four seed is yet.
Right, the four seed, and by the way things are going, the four seed is going to be the AFC South winner. It's going to be the least win divisional winner. Okay.
Yeah.
The other team, one of those other two teams may still qualify for the playoffs. And it'll be in the seven seed. Okay? I'm trying to remember who has the inside line on the six, but matter of fact, let's look at this. Let's look at playoff scenarios. Hold on. I'll pull this up. And we got this thing. It's called the Internet, man. It's great, man. You guys wouldn't believe it. You ought to get it.
I get a lot of good stuff on it.
Oh, you're hip to it already, man. You're a fancy guy.
Yeah,
man.
No doubt.
All modern and shit.
Yeah, I know. I'm up and coming.
NFL playoff picture. This is the playoff picture per the NFL. How about that? Okay, so Ravens are the one seed. Everybody knows that. Dolphins are the two. The Chiefs are the three. Browns are the five, and those are the only clinched. In the hunt, Jacksonville. Potential four. Right now, Jacksonville, if it were to end today, Jacksonville wins the South. They get the four, okay? Right now, if it ended today, Buffalo gets the six seed, but Buffalo will be playing Miami for the division on Sunday, okay? The Colts, if it ended today, would be the seven, okay? The teams that are on the bubble are the Texans and the Steelers. The Steelers
need to win.
Well, yeah, they need to win, but here's the problem. They're 29% chance to make the playoff, the lowest of anybody in the hunt that hasn't clinched so far. Jaguars have a 77% chance to make it. Bills a 94% chance to make the playoffs, and they'll be the sixth seed. And the Colts got a 54% chance to make it. So I believe the Steelers got to win, and somebody like and the Colts lose, and that's kind of like their formula. So
yeah,
the Steelers don't control their complete own destiny, but they got their work cut out for them anyway, because their half of the bargain is to go into Baltimore and beat these Ravens.
The only chance they have to
with
beat
Mason
the Ravens
Rudolph
is
at starter, with Mason Rudolph at starter, because he said no, his picket is shut down for the season.
I think that they have a chance because the Ravens aren't going to play all their guys. They're going to probably rest most of them people.
Okay, I understand. I understand, and I would think that knowing John Harbaugh the way I do, he's going to put not his starters out there, but it's going to be a spirited game, sir. Okay, because in many cases,
and that second string quarterback is no joke.
Well, and by the way, I think what folks have found out is Mason Rudolph appears apparently not to be any joke either.
No, they should have started him a long time ago.
He's 2-0 right now. They haven't lost since they started. Watching, what?
I've been watching videos, several pundits in sports talking about, hey, the Browns could easily get past the wild card spot and on to play the Ravens. And they said if they play the Ravens, it's not a sure thing for the Ravens.
Well, why would it be? We've already beat them once this year. Okay, I mean that's that. No,
yeah,
that's not what folks are saying. That's easy. What a lot of folks are saying is the Ravens don't want to see the Browns, and it's almost inevitable that that's what they're going to see.
That's what I meant to say. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
It's almost inevitable what they're going to see, and they're going to see the Browns with a playoff game under their belt, okay, already, and they're going to be straight out of a bye week, and sometimes that's good and sometimes that's not good, but statistically, the way you beat Lamar Jackson is you blitz him because he has deplorable numbers against the blitz, except last week against the Dolphins, and he just burned their blitz.
Except last week against the Dolphins.
Oh, good God.
Ooh, that was a mollywop.
No, I'm not sure what you call it. Did you see the final score on that, Alva?
On the what? Which one?
The Ravens-Dolphins game.
56 to something.
54-19.
Yeah. 54-19. Right. Yeah. I've seen it.
So who did the Dolphins play earlier this year that they got 62 on? I can't remember who it was.
I
don't
know.
But
I haven't looked it up.
Yeah, they dropped 62 on somebody.
No, 56. Yeah.
Yeah. But they, they dropped 62 on somebody earlier this year. Goddamn near got it done on them. In the game that really fucking counted. Okay. And this was in Miami. I mean, it wasn't like they had to go to Baltimore to get their ass kicked like that. Welcome, Jeffrey. Jeffrey's joined the club, or apparently he has. Hopefully he'll unmute his mic and say yellow to people. Because if he opens it up and says green, I'm not going to know what to do.
Hello.
Ah, see, I told you.
And there he is.
I'm pretty good at that shit. Okay. Hey, welcome. Say hi to Alva, Jeff. Okay.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Alva.
Yeah. Talking Cleveland Browns. Okay, so we're playing the Bengals, Alva.
Browns football.
We're playing the Bengals, Alva. And let me see, do I have this here? I don't. Never mind. But know your enemy. Tell me about your enemy. They're from Cincinnati. And again, they're from Ohio, so that makes them good. But as far as Ohio goes, it's the lowlife area, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
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 One thing about the Bengals, they're either at the top or they're at the bottom. There's no in-between for the Bengals.
Right. But I tell you, the silver lining for Bengals fans, I would guess, this year is you found out, I don't know, I really don't know if they keep him because his stock has gone way up. And the Bengals, you know, the problem is they got so much money in Joe Burrow, and so you're going to have this constant cascade and carousel of players in and out of there because you can't keep them all. But Browning's a pretty doggone good backup. He has played real well for them. Damn near beat the Chiefs on Sunday.
Yeah.
It was impressive.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jeff.
Dangerous, period.
Oh, yeah.
When they play the Browns, they're always dangerous. Yeah.
Well, that's true. It's always a competitive game because it's it's basically that kind of thing. It's divisional competition. The Browns have an edge going to play the Ravens anyway because they're divisional opponents, okay? So they see them more than everybody else, and they're going to be aware of the exotic looks and some of the different fronts that the Ravens are going to put on defensively. And defensively, they got as good a shot of anybody, if not better, on stopping Lamar, and that's... You know, it's what Lamar do you get? And more often than not this season, you're getting good Lamar because bad Lamar hadn't really come out and showed his butt this year much at all. Jeff, if you'll look at that graphic that you got sent by me in a text, it was the group text with you, me, and Alva. You'll see the statistics about a comparison of Joe Flacco in his 5 starts and Deshaun Watson in his 12 starts. Take a look at that. Take it in. It's interesting.
Now you brought up a point once before while we're on the thing is, so if Joe Flacco carries you deep into the playoffs, he gets you to the division, let's say.
Yeah.
Championship game. So which quarterback do you keep for next year?
Well, I mean, you got the cap. It's not like you can get
with Deshaun.
It's not like you can get rid of Deshaun by trading him. Nobody's taking on that contract.
Well, I mean, you'd have to eat most of the cap anyhow. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you traded him.
Oh, yeah. He's going to destroy your cap whether you keep him, deal him, cut him. It's you've got a destroyed salary cap next year. $62 million right off the top. Yeah.
So what's next year? You know what I'm saying? That's almost like that little elf looking guy destroyed.
Oh yeah, Phil Savage. Everything Phil Savage.
Tried, yeah.
Blew it up.
Yeah.
Well, that's because he got so into making deals, he dealed himself out of the table, basically.
Yeah.
Trader Phil.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, did you see that graphic? Yeah. Look in
sorry,
your
I hope
text.
I wasn't making too much noise.
Oh, okay.
I
gotcha.
I did see that graphic.
And Peter King put that up in a show he was doing on NBC Sports. And the category is subject. He says, I'm just saying, Deshaun Watson's played 12 games with a 59.8 completion percentage. Joe 5 with a 60.3. That's like, that's even 14 touchdowns for Deshaun over 12 games, 13 over 5 games for Joe, 9 picks for Deshaun over 12, 8 picks. Kind of high over that small amount of games. But again, Alva, you said lack of familiarity with the receivers and everything can account for some of this because you got a guy going this way when you expected him to go that way, that type shit.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and Joe even alluded to it. So it's normal.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
well,
I do
have some comments. In general, I think what you're looking at, because I've kind of dug into some of the advanced stats a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Can with it. Flacco through his 5 games is playing at a near MVP level.
Yes, sir.
No doubt.
It is. I never knew that the Browns were going to get here while I'm still sucking air, okay? But I mean, not only in the playoffs, but with a chance in the playoffs. This is a team that has a legitimate shot at going to the place, baby. Okay? And
so, I was going to add a little bit more to that. Like, if Flacco playing at an MVP level, right?
Mm-hmm.
The advanced stats of that. They're running a lot of play action, okay? They've run 6 play action plays for Flacco, okay? They both played, they're both 4-1 for the team this year or something
Deshaun
around that
was
manner.
5-1. Deshaun was 5-1.
That you can count.
Deshaun was 5-1 on games he started. Okay. And now, admittedly, the one game P.J. Walker played most of the game.
And that's, I think, why they were saying 4-1. But if you look at the totality of his this year, he has run almost exactly half the plays that Flacco has. Okay. Now, obviously, there's been a lot more run pass option in there. Okay. Flacco's had like none of that. Okay. That's for Watson. But if you look at the yards that are gained per run, per play action, Flacco and Watson are not much different. Okay.
Right.
To me, if you're an advocate of right now, right?
Uh-huh.
People advocating that, like Alva posed the question, oh, well, if Flacco takes us so far, who do you pick next year? I mean, you're in a situation where, let's be honest, fan in your Cleveland, you do not want to be stupid in this endeavor, right? Let's just play hypothetically, Flacco gets us to Super Bowl. Further and wins it. Okay, let's play in that realm of thinking right now.
Okay, that's fine.
You go into next season, you don't see him, Watson, you're expecting whatever out of him. He says, well, look, I just won a Super Bowl. I think I got another one in me, like Tom Brady here, okay?
Right.
And he goes to another team and then performs. And then this season. Okay. And while everybody's like, Watson, oh, I mean, he played all right. 86 quarterback rating. I can go down the list of quarterbacks on the hot seat this year, okay?
Right.
Kyler Murray, they're talking about replacing him. 86.8 quarterback rating. They're talking about replacing Derek Carr. 92.2 quarterback rating. They're talking about replacing Russell Wilson. Last year got talked about being quarterback rating.
Well,
last
that's,
year.
I mean,
okay, he's got a 92 this year.
I think the Russell Wilson thing comes way more down to a chemistry issue with him and Sean Payton. And if I'm a guessing guy, Russell Wilson will be in Atlanta next year. Okay.
Okay. Now, I'm almost to the end of what I'm saying here. Okay. So you go into next season, Flacco signed, and Watson underperforms.
Okay, we're getting real spacing on you, Jeffrey. We're losing multiple words at a time.
But see, doesn't Flacco price you out of keeping both? I don't know.
I don't know. Flacco goes to the Super Bowl and wins it for the Browns, right? What does he want to come back? That's the question. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, is he going to take $7 million?
Well, here's my thing.
$7 million, okay. Or is he going to take 30? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Here's my thing. For all intents.
Okay. See, you said we heard
any
for
other
all,
time you.
What we heard, Jeff, was for all intents. And then it went blank. We lost the next five words you said.
I gotcha.
Yeah, it's really spacing out. I don't know. Maybe you want to try to reconnect on the call, or I'm not sure what's doing that. Do you have like a filter on, noise filter on or something like that? Okay, I'm not hearing you.
Connections.
Okay. Yeah, it's really bad. Yeah. Okay.
I see a team that became more confident since Joe's been there.
Oh yeah,
It just seems that Joe is getting in the receiver's ass a little more than the other.
I love that play where the guy was supposed to flatten that route out and he didn't, and basically cost
the
touchdown.
He just quit on it.
Yeah, that would have been a touchdown route.
Yeah, and that's the difference between winning and losing. In a lot of times, is that full effort on every play, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And like I said, and it just seems like the team's more competent. Now, true, I haven't watched every game or anything like that, but I do peek in every now and then, you know, a half or something like that. And that's just a feeling I got over watching a couple times.
Oh no! If anything, I was always waiting. Listen, I think to be fair, we got a game and a half of pretty decent Deshaun this year, and really, if you want to be critical, we really only got a half of what we'd like Deshaun to be in this offense, and that was the comeback half against the Ravens.
Right.
Yeah, so maybe he should sprain his ankle every before every game, and then we'll get that.
Well, that's what I say. If you find out he does better with that sprained ankle, what you do is you get somebody to kick him in the ankle on his way down out to, you know. I'm sorry. Well, he plays better, but it hurt.
I
officially put Flacco in the popo realm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember, where did Jimmy end up this year?
Came up and then he went to San Francisco, huh?
Yeah, where did Jimmy end up this year? Who was he throwing for this year? Garoppolo.
Garoppolo?
Yeah, who was he playing for this year? Was it the Raiders?
Wasn't he with the Raiders?
Yeah, well, he's not. Yeah. He's not.
He's the one. He was the one that
He was one of the guys. It was either Garoppolo or Carr we should have got instead of Manziel. Okay?
Yeah.
Could have had Popo. Could have had Popo. Carr. But we got...
Yeah.
You know how Charlie Brown was always, I got a rock. I got a Manziel.
I got a Baker.
Hey, I was watching this video earlier today where it's like the worst call ever in football history. This was Hugh Jackson. Did they go 1-16 before 1-15 before they went 0-16 or this season after? Which one was it? Which one preceded the other? Was it 0-16 first, and then they went 1-15? He got a game better. I don't know,
because it makes you wonder. Reverse. I could be wrong.
Makes you wonder how they kept him or why they kept him doing either of those things two in a row. Okay,
right.
But in this particular play, it was left off the tackle run by Duke Johnson, who gets like 7 yards. He gets tackled, and on the way down, the ball comes out, right? Well, Duke recovers the thing, and he's standing up with the ball in his hands, and this female official is going down there separating out the pile, and she calls that the Redskins have the ball, and that call stands while Duke's standing next to her with the ball in his fucking hand. Okay. And Hugh Jackson, didn't even contest the call, didn't even get mad.
But here's the thing. On a possession thing, was it not in place where every change of possession gets reviewed?
Not in 2016, evidently, Hugh.
Apparently not. Damn, that's crazy.
Because that happened. That happened. So, but all I'm saying to you, Browns fans, is that's what you've gone from, and this is what you're to. Now, you wouldn't have thought, given early injuries to Nick Chubb and to Jack Conklin, that you'd even be here. Seriously.
I mean,
we started taking injury hits to the point that would decimate any other team. Nobody can figure out what's happening with Cleveland. And some folks like Rich Eisen are so in love with this story. They are now Browns fans. I mean, Bill Cowher, my God, he's on TV saying, my Cleveland Browns.
I mean, you're talking about
all this adversity. We have just... You got to be having straight joy right now about this Browns.
So I say that to say this. I take back everything I said about Kevin Stefanski until next season. Okay? Right now, he's a genius, and he's my coach of the year.
Hey, listen. He's getting better with play calling.
He's for that right now. Yeah.
Say again? Alpha,
you know, he's definitely in the running for that.
Oh, he is right now the favorite. And keep in mind, the Texans, D'Amico Ryans has something to say about that. And I think that Dan, what's Dan's name? The coach in Dan Campbell in Detroit probably has a little something to say about that. I think it's going to be a tough call, but I think. If you wanted to narrow the field right now fairly, that's your field right now for the voters for Coach of the Year, and that's going to be Dan Campbell. Mm-hmm. D'Amico Ryans or Kevin Stefanski. With Kevin Stefanski right now, given the performance of the Browns, being one of the prohibitive favorite.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, you're talking about four quarterbacks going down, too. And running back going down. You're talking about cornerbacks going down.
Both of the tackles, both starting tackles.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
And the second stringer on one side.
People would say the right tackle went down twice. You had Jack Conklin week one and then later on DeJuan Jones. But I'm talking about Jedrick Wills and Jack Conklin. That's going into the season. That's your starting left and right tackle. Okay, and they're gone. And Jedrick Wills, a lot would argue that maybe it might even be that our play at left tackle has improved since he's been gone. Okay, but that'll be something else. That'll be something else that'll be addressed in the offseason, no doubt. Okay? Right now,
listen,
what you got's what you got.
You got a lot of difficult choices tonight. Yeah.
The defense has certainly got a lot to do with this, but Kevin's got these guys playing for him. And it just for me, through all this adversity that we've gone through, injuries and everything, dude, we are here. It's like you got to pinch yourself. Okay. Wow.
But I just want to say this. I don't know exactly between Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski or if it was a joint deal. All right. But whoever's responsible for bringing Jim Schwartz to Cleveland to coordinate the defense is he is the fucking man, because I'll be honest with you. All the genius that Kevin Stefanski is, all the motivator that he's become and everything else doesn't happen if Jim Schwartz is not the defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns this year.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
It's true. It's true. True statement.
And again, one of my hopes for this season was that, and it could still happen. It could still happen. But if they feel like they just want another body on the DL to rotate in and create some presence, how about Ndamukong Suh for the playoffs, boys?
That would be crazy.
That would be nuts.
That would be crazy.
Yeah. But again, I wouldn't.
He might do it for the ring.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And Jimmy Haslam may give Andrew Berry to go ahead on a lot of these things because, okay, so who was the first one? Okay, so Nick Chubb goes down, right? And so everybody is comes out of that game saying, the Browns need to bring Kareem Hunt back. The Browns need to bring Kareem Hunt back. And by Tuesday that week, Kareem Hunt's in the fold, okay? All right.
Yep.
Believe it or not, dude, a lot of people, the minute Deshaun went out, pointed, Joe Flacco's sitting on the couch. He's available. Joe Flacco's like 6'6", and he's got like a fucking arm, And what'd he do? He brought in Joe Flacco. So he might bring in Dalvin Cook, Jarvis Landry, and Ndamukong Suh. How about that? How would that be? The Browns are going for the thing if they do that for real.
Yeah. If they do that, then
that would be insane.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, say it again, Alva.
Hey Paul, I gotta say
something. Hugh, I need to hear what Alva said.
All I did was agree. I mean, if they bring in all three, then they're saying all or nothing.
That's it. And I really think they should. They
screw next year. Screw the year after that. We're going
now. Hell, with what's been going on in Jimmy Haslam's life, he needs to go on and win his Super Bowl. Now he could end up in fucking jail. He's being investigated. He's being investigated for some kind of fraud again. He's being investigated.
I thought his family ran all that other bullshit.
Not what he's being investigated for now. It still has to do with that pilot Flying J trying to get people to do something, and they were trying to pay him off to do it thing. Okay.
Yeah.
To misreport the earnings thing. But he's being investigated by federal investigators. So I don't know how it's looking for him. I haven't really followed that story. I do know that is happening. And I mean, at this point, it's like, just do it, Jimmy, do it. I mean, come on. He hadn't shied away from making bad picks at quarterback, making people pick the Johnny Manziels of the world. Okay. I mean, he's stuck his nose in everywhere else. Okay, just come on, man. You got a guy who knows the people to get. Andrew Berry has done more than as good a job as Kevin Stefanski is doing at head coach this year. Andrew Berry's been doing since he got there at general manager.
Right.
I just can't tell
you. That's a good feeling too. Him coming back, he getting a start. He was at the Ravens.
Yeah.
Come to the Browns. Like I said, is I don't know. That's just good. And then he left, and then he come back.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's it. Yeah. I mean, but remember now, when Berry left, he left and he went, and he was part of that Eagles staff. Okay, that went to the Super Bowl. These are the guys that have the situation that was as close as what we've got going on, where the starter goes out. And in that case, it was Carson Wentz, and he went out with an ACL, okay? And Nick Foles comes in, takes him to the Super Bowl, and wins MVP. Well, I know what you know what the Eagles did, right? They let Carson Wentz go, okay?
Sure did.
They kept Nick Foles. Oh, well, okay. I don't know that was the right thing. Two seasons after that, Doug Peterson's gone. Doug Peterson's in Jacksonville now. A guy that won that Super Bowl is gone. You got Nick Sirianni there now. Okay.
You know, I was wondering.
So that may be. That may be tobacco in the pipe of, no, you keep Deshaun. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, again, that's a problem I want the Browns to have. So, and they can worry about what they do with that. But if they have that problem, that means that we won the Super Bowl. Okay. So I'm good with that.
Yeah. You know, I was wondering what it would have been like to have Nick Foles, but now I don't care because I'm perfectly happy with Flacco.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was all kind of names being tossed, but I had the sneaking suspicion that one, especially once I saw the suite of names out there, I said, we're going to get Flacco.
Yeah.
We're going to get Flacco. Flacco's going to be the dude.
And one thing I tell you on that, Paul, is that Flacco is my mama's quarterback. That's the man.
Okay.
She lives in Maryland, you know.
Okay. Well, you guess what? There is all kind of Flacco mania going on in Maryland right now. And, you know, Ravens fans are saying, you know, hey, it's too much Flacco love going on here because, guys, he's going to be coming to town, and you can't be loving on Flacco when we're playing him. Okay? You can't.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that dude is liable to come into Raven Stadium there and get cheered, not booed.
Hey, you can't say mama's wrong.
That's right. Well, there you go. See? I'm telling you, it works out.
How many years did he play there? How many years did he play there?
Over 10. I can't remember exactly. I think it was 11 seasons, but I'm not sure. But it was it was a long time.
I've been wanting to say something to you, Paul.
What?
Listen, and this is you'll enjoy this. May the Schwartz be with you.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, guys. I didn't get to talk to any of you on Friday, but I was telling folks, man, you know, it's nice when things pay off. But they're right on the morning of New Year's Eve, I was just telling somebody, I said, you know, I've worked hard, I've saved all year, and I got enough money to live comfortably for the rest of the year. And I did it too, man.
No doubt.
I had some left over. Going to put that on this year. Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, boy. Can't believe it's 2024.
So, you know, people are going to know where I get my material from, because I guess that meme was all over the place on Facebook the other day. It's like, yeah. Don't want to brag or anything, but I got enough money to live comfortably for the rest of the year. Yeah. Yeah, it took me, actually, I can tell you how much that was, too. It's like $27.95. Anyway, guys, here's some stats from the game. How about that? So the Browns, in a surprise, rushed for, and this is combined, guys. We didn't have any single rusher over 100 yards. But as a combined staff, we ran for 127 yards against the Jets. And Jerome Ford had 64 Good. Of those. Jerome Ford had 64 of those. But what was most impressive about it, 5.3 yards a carry, 12 attempts, 5.3 a carry. Dude, we haven't seen numbers like that since Nick Chubb went down. Now, what's also interesting is that another one of our backs, Pierre Strong, only had 4 carries, but at 7.3 yards a carry, that wasn't bad.
Hey, no, not bad at all.
And Kareem Hunt, he had 10 carries, 3.1 yards a carry, but boy, he had his best carries when they counted. Okay, and another touchdown for Kareem Hunt, who has just been a touchdown machine at running back this year. Flacco, 19 to 29 for 309. 3 TDs and a pick for a quarterback rating of 121.2.
Yes, sir. Wow.
The Browns held Trevor Siemian to a quarterback rating of 83.7. He had decent numbers, guys. He was 32 of 45 for 261, a touch and a pick. But, you know, the numbers that count, right? We all know the numbers that count.
He played good in between the 30s. He really did.
And, I was more, I think he played better than I expected him to, Trevor Siemian did.
Right.
I expected him to be harassed a lot more. I was really happy to see Myles Garrett get off the not getting no sacks in 5 games schneid. Listen, Myles Garrett is the most held defensive lineman in the league. There are so many holds on him that don't get called. It's just totally ridiculous. And by the way, officiating this year has been totally ridiculous. And thank God that the team that blew that call in the Detroit Dallas game is not going to be calling any playoff games.
Did you hear that the NFL came out and said it's Detroit Lions' fault for all of that? And they're, even though they're doing what they're doing to the officiating team, they're not going to do anything about it.
Because when, okay. So if you go back and you watch that play, 65 reports, the official says
68.
Oh, 68, whatever. The official says 70 is eligible. The minute they said that, the Detroit Lions should have said something.
I don't know that.
No, I do. If you're number 68 and you reported and the official said 70 is eligible, what are you going to do? You're going to say, hey, I'm 68.
Maybe they didn't check. Hugh. It's up to the official to get that confusion straight.
Hugh, no, the official, no, it's up to the player to go to the official and report. If you're a lineman reporting, Hugh, you're not listening. It's up to the player to go to the official and report. Yes, 68 went to the official and reported, but then the official said out of his mouth over a microphone that 70 has reported eligible. 68 should have said, no, I'm 68. Okay? Sorry. That's true. That is true. Technically speaking. It's an incompetent official who gets number 68, comes in front of him, and somehow he sees 70. Okay? That's not my point. And that incompetent official and his crew have been punished for that. You understand that they're not going to be in the playoffs. But the Detroit Lions, it was their responsibility to say something there. So the Browns had 20 first downs, the Jets 17. And again, a lot of those first downs that the Jets got were in junk time when this game was already decided. Okay. The Browns were 5 for 10 on third down, 50%, a very respectable rate. And they held the competition to 6 of 16 for 37.5%.
Not bad.
Not bad. Red zone efficiency.
Not bad at all.
Red zone efficiency. Browns were 3 for 5, 60%. Jets, 0 of 1. Only got in the red zone once and didn't get anything when they got there. Browns are 3 for 3. Goal to go. The Jets, 0 for 1. Because we turned them over when they got down there, didn't we? Yeah,
I can't remember what. Yeah.
I thought they got stopped once with it from going on right after the interception.
Yes.
I don't know how they went 3 for 3 in the red zone. Or that's goal to go.
Oh, no, the Browns weren't. No, that was goal to go. They were three for five. They were three for five in the red zone.
Yeah, because they could have got first down on the 2-yard line. Yeah.
Okay. Now here's the interesting thing. Here's a game where one of the stats, you know, we always say if you 10 these numbers, you're going to win this game, right? But the Browns lost out in time of possession, but that was all second half after the game was over, guys. Joe was taking a nap on the sideline, and the Jets had the ball for 31-51, the Browns for 28-09. But I'm telling you, the Browns made that 28 minutes count, baby. It was a thing of beauty. It was a thing of beauty, man. I was proud to be a Browns fan on Thursday night. That shit was good.
Man, it was so... I am really loving what's going on right now. I mean, you just got to enjoy this.
I
know a lot of people...
This was an article.
Never go ahead.
This was an article, and this was by... You know, your Jets kind of people. This was in the New York paper. This was in the New Jersey .com. Joe Flacco and Browns destroy Jets on night that should have Woody Johnson questioning everything. And apparently,
Wow. Apparently
the New Jersey .com and Cleveland .com are owned by the same parent company because, you know, the way Cleveland.com does and they grade the article out and you can't see it if you're a subscriber. Well, NewJersey.com does right. That same bullshit. Okay. Yeah. And it looks the exact same way. You'd think you were on the Cleveland.com website. Rob Gronkowski, Gronk, says that Browns coach Kevin Stefanski should be coach of the year. No doubt about it.
Yep.
Who said that?
Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, get out of here. Go ahead, man. Yeah. All right, Gronk.
Yeah, me and Gronk was drinking on New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Well, you know, Gronk just came out.
I was drinking at home, and he was drinking at a party.
Right. Well, there you go. Well, you know, I was telling people, you know, I used to play a little quarterback myself, you know, between Tom Brady and me, between the two of us, we got 7 Super Bowls.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. I know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
I missed that.
There you go. I'm just saying, you know, if you look at it, look it up. You put me and Tom Brady in a bucket and tell me how many Super Bowls there are. I haven't lied to you yet.
That's true. There's 7. I know.
That's
yeah.
Right. That's right.
I know you were telling the truth.
That's right.
I could tell.
Right. More cause for optimism.
Your lips were moving.
Okay, here's one. Here's more cause for optimism if these 6 players return after being out in week 17. What 6 players are those, you ask? Well, I say this. Wide receiver Amari Cooper. And by the way, these are legitimate guys that are probably going to be back on the field in the playoffs, guys. Amari Cooper.
No doubt.
Linebacker Anthony Walker Jr. Safety Grant Delpit. And get this. Defensive end Ogbo Okoronkwo. You know, a guy's out with a peck, right? He was never put on injured reserve because the Browns feel that he is going to be back. And, of course, then the other 2 people that not only are likely to be back, but, boy, do we need them back, and that is kicker Dustin Hopkins and punter Corey Bojorquez.
Please, God.
The punter went down? The punter go down?
Yeah, the punter went down. The punter hurt his leg doing a kickoff because the kicker was out.
They both got hammies, right?
Yeah. What? I don't know.
A couple games ago or something?
Hopkins has a hamstring. Bohorquez has a leg. We don't know what it was. I don't think it was a hammy, though.
Because I was watching game, and that dude was like punting 70 yards. It was like...
Oh yeah. Bohorquez is he's out of his mind, man. He's out of his mind. Great punter. I mean, we need Bohorquez for the playoffs, guys. So, you know, but we're likely... Yeah. There's no indications that they'll be anything but back and available for the wild card game.
Didn't he have something like a 75-yard punt?
Hold on, Hugh. Let almost every time Alvin says something, go ahead. Say it again.
I said Ray Guy was always worth a win or two. I see.
Well, that's it. You want to know how important a punter is to your game, right? It's just amazing. Yeah. Okay, now what were you saying, Hugh?
I said, didn't he have like a 75-yard punt that one time?
Not that one time. Yeah. Not one time. A couple few times, many times, if you consider the 2 years he's been with us. But Bohorquez has been out of his mind, maybe the best punter in football the entire time he's been with Cleveland.
I mean, that's
wow, man.
And the hang time was really good. I mean, it had enough time for the coverage to get down there. I mean, if you are sitting on the 10-yard line and you can punt 70 yards and your coverage team can get down there to stop them, you know what I'm saying? That's huge. That's like field position change.
I'll tell you a player, one of the kind of, I'd call him a second level player on the Browns, that has really shown up this year in key moments in games. And it's always been his nature, but it's Sione Takitaki. He has played out of his freaking mind. When you need a sure tackle on a play that's been broken, here's Takitaki breaking it up. I mean, Takitaki is, I'm so glad he found a way to make the roster, because there was a lot of speculation training camp this year that Takitaki was going to be odd man out.
Mm.
And it did not happen, and I am glad it did not.
And I can't pronounce his name, but number six. Him and number six. Man.
Well, I guess Jeffrey's not going to make it back.
What position he play?
It's the linebacker. I can't pronounce his name.
Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah.
Yeah, Jeremiah.
Owusu-Koramoah.
J-O-K.
Yeah, Dash, Jeremiah.
We folks in Cleveland just call him J-O-K.
J-O-K.
Yeah, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. That's what they call him, dude. J-O-K. I'm not making this up. This is what his teammates call him. Okay.
Got it.
And Alva, how many times has our tight end David Njoku asked to be traded? How many times has he been dissatisfied? How many times has whatever the issue between him and Stefanski was early on when he came there, they've ironed it out, and he has turned into the player we've always wanted him to be?
I guess, because I would have traded me.
Right.
I would have traded me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you think of early...
He had an outstanding game. Don't get me wrong. I just would have traded him. For some reason... Coming out of college, I just never thought he was that good.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But I just think it's kind of like a kind of circumstance thing, because when he wanted to be traded, I don't think the Browns could find a trading partner that would give him what they wanted. Okay, honest. I mean, it just because he hadn't flowered. And honest to goodness, you know, he came through with some big plays in the 2020 season, if you remember the 2020 season when we went to the playoffs. He came through with some big plays. But it wasn't like this. This has been consistent performance, great catches, and lots of yak. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, and if you think about it, outside of Amari Cooper, who's been the real reliable one at receiver for the Browns, and it has been David Njoku.
You know, I tell you, I've always liked him. I know he went through his ups and downs, and I feel everything that you're saying because it's true.
No,
man, for some reason, I always liked him, even through the bad stuff. For I don't know what it was, but man, he sure is showing up now.
I honestly, based on what we had on the field for a long time, I really thought he had been oversold to us. But I think, and I, it's hard for me to imagine anybody, and I can't remember who it was responsible for drafting. For drafting Njoku, because it wasn't Barry. Barry didn't draft Njoku, did he?
No. I don't think so. How long has he been with the team?
Yeah, I think it's about 7-8 years, right?
I think he came in the same year that Manziel did, didn't he?
That would have been. That would have been
what's his guy? Why can't I remember his name?
The white guy.
No, that wasn't. No, the big bald-headed African-American male guy with glasses. What was his name, Alvin? General Manager? Huh? Say again?
General Manager?
General Manager, yeah.
Wow, I can't even think.
Okay, well, we knew
I
that.
I thought it was what's-his-name from the Chiefs.
No, we knew that. Hugh just said, I can't even think. Yeah, I know. That's why we tell you to stop.
I just thought it was the guy.
Stop trying. Let's see.
Who's the guy from the?
Quit opening the door, man.
GM 2017, I think is the year he came in. 2017 or 18. John Dorsey.
It wasn't.
It was Dorsey. It was Dorsey.
That's who I thought it was. Dorsey.
I thought he came in before Dorsey, though.
Okay. Well, let's see.
Who was the GM right after the? The money ball guy.
Okay, well we're getting ready to find out.
Remember
David
the
Njoku. Let's see when he was drafted 2017, guys.
Okay.
Yeah, John Dorsey is responsible for him. Yeah, selected by the Browns in the first round, 29th overall of the 2017 NFL draft. That was John Dorsey.
I just never thought he was the number one. He never played like a number one.
Right. What I think is fortunate, and we're the benefit of it, because there's a long journey, guy. You know, from 2017 to today, he is now looking like what we always wanted him to be. I don't know how long he can sustain it, but I hope he can do it for 4 more games or 3 more games if they rest him on Sunday.
I tell you what, he's in great shape, man.
Maybe they can get a good draft pick out. I mean, no, I shouldn't say that. Give him his dues. He's on top now.
He's on top now. That's right. But he was, 29th pick in the first round. They picked him up. And again, 2017, that means he was drafted. He was drafted in the same year that Myles Garrett was drafted.
So
you can't be mad at Dorsey about that first round anymore, can you? About that first
round. No.
That's amazing.
You know, so he did some good things and then he did one bad thing.
Well, now see, here's the problem. If you want to blame Dorsey for Manziel, you're blaming the wrong guy. Jimmy Haslam stepped in and said, draft Manziel. You fucking work for me, draft Manziel. He was like, no, boss, but he's in draft Manziel. I want Manziel. So that's how that happened. You can't blame Dorsey for that. I know Dorsey got blamed for that, but that wasn't how it worked. Okay.
Yay.
And, you know, and listen, David Njoku himself, we were threatened with losing him this year because he suffered some pretty severe burns to his face during, in a fire pit accident this very season and did not miss a game.
And didn't miss a game.
So, you know. Give credit where it's due, but again, I tend to agree with Alpha that early on, Njoku was look how many times they tried to find somebody to supplant David Njoku. They brought in Austin Hooper. They brought in multiple tight ends who have been in and out of Cleveland, trying to find somebody other than Njoku. And Njoku has kind of weathered the storm, and he's still here.
I'm still here.
And many of us will. And listen.
Well, he had the speed of a classic speed that you would want in a tight end.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
In a way, Alva, he reminded me as a tight end of, come on, what was the receiver's name? Who that kid could get open. It didn't matter what, but his hands, he had like hands of stone. Paul Hubbard.
Stones, yeah.
He was Paul Hubbard. He was Braylon Paul Moore. Hubbard. Early on, he was the Paul Hubbard of tight ends.
And he would play all too. His arms would just go off.
Oh yeah, he'd get in the end zone. He'd be wide the fuck open, but his hands are like everywhere except where they should be. Okay, he's flailing around like one of those tube monsters in front of the used car dealer. Okay,
and he was tall too. He was like 6'7".
Yes. Yeah. Now here's something that you know, I've heard a lot of people saying, you know, analysts and everything, and I really would like to see it happen. But we drafted a wide receiver this year who has the potential to be a real keeper in terms of talent, speed, and height. And Cedric Tillman, time to step up, baby. Time to step up. Okay.
Yeah, it is time. Yeah,
you can't win rookie. You can't win rookie of the year, but doggone it, you can make it look like maybe you should have.
Yeah, hey, man.
Tillman's
just show
a good
up
football
in
name. Playoffs.
Yes, it is. Yes,
Tillman's
it is.
A good football name.
Yes, it is.
Hey, yes, it is. Hey, guys, I got a fun fact.
What's that?
Fun fact. Random fact. The Browns are one of six teams that do in the NFL that do not have cheerleaders.
Okay, great.
Bears, Giants, Lions, Steelers, and Packers, and the Browns don't have cheerleaders.
So, what is so fun about that fact? I just want to. I want to understand it.
Well, okay. I think we should get some cheerleaders.
We have a dog and elf.
That's it. We have a dog and an elf. We have a dog and an elf. The rest of the guys got girls. We got a dog and an elf. What the fuck? What the fuck? And so wait, and random rotating mad guy at the beginning smashing a guitar.
And yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that was cool to see Chubb do it with the Batman mask on.
Right, yeah, yeah. It's always cool. It's always cool to see that, but I'm just saying. It's just like, and we ain't got no cheerleaders. We ain't got no logo. We ain't got no cheerleaders. What the fuck? What the fuck?
Hey, Alva, Paul, have you seen how excited Bernie is about Flacco?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's great.
Dude, he is so excited.
It's nice. You know, it's nice seeing Bernie. I don't know. Alva, do you ever, you know, YouTube around, watch any videos on the Browns?
No, he never comes over to the house anymore.
Oh, okay.
No, he never comes over to the house anymore.
But so Bernie's always on the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show. At least once a week they have Bernie on. And, you know, Bernie's lost a lot of weight. He's a skinny dude now. And he's into, you know, he's got a health and wellness company, you know, where he does, you know, sells different minerals and vitamins and shit like that. But he does very, I mean, some of the most insightful conversation when it comes to the position of quarterback play is Bernie Kosar. He's just really
good.
Well,
he was always like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's doing really good, too, given the fact that we know he's suffering from levels of CTE from the various concussions. And he has, listen, Bernie always had that kind of speech pattern thing where he always sounded like he'd been drinking. Okay. Bernie's doing so well now in later in life, articulating through that. It's just impressive. Okay.
Oh, man. He's so happy now, too, dude.
Yeah. But if you want to see somebody gush about the Browns, go watch Rich Eisen talk about the Browns nowadays. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Rich Eisen, he's loving this Browns story. And he just can't wait. He's pretty much counting it. He's saying it's happened. It's second round, divisional round, dude. It's Browns at Ravens, and I can't fucking wait. Now, I know everybody. I know the Browns have to win their wild card game, guys, but I don't see them losing to anybody from the South. And he said, I can't wait. He said, it might be the best game of the playoffs. He said, and he said, and no other team in the AFC has even Snowball's chance to beat the Ravens this year. But the Browns.
Yeah. Well, we're going to see. I'm going to reserve all rights to the Super Bowl until after they do play the first playoff.
Right. I got to see him. I want to see him in the wild card round. Let him get a win under their belt, and then I can get on the. Again, I'm kind of from Missouri. See, I feel like I'm being fucking toyed with here, Alva. Okay?
Yeah.
I know.
Anything
right?
can happen. They could get full of themselves. I mean, really.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of one of the reasons why I'm actually thankful that we got the Ravens out there looking like the unstoppable beast.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Ravens now are trying to downplay this. They're saying, no, we're still the underdog, blah, 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 blah. Nobody, you know, nobody's seen us coming. And no, we don't want that. We're not the best team in football. No. And yes, you are. Ha ha. Got you, tag. You're fucking it.
Yep.
Because those are the kind of challenges that this team has stepped up to this season. And listen, I will take it because, you know, I obviously there'll be a lesson to be learned by the organization that it's more important to have a cohesive unit across the board. Yeah, you know, what do they call them? Elite level quarterback, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that Deshaun Watson has played at an elite level, okay? Not for the Browns, but I understand he's done it. And the contract he has is predicated upon that he did. But even then, Deshaun, you know, it's just like Lamar, okay? Here's where I think Lamar can be beat. Yeah, he can correct a lot of problems with his game with his legs. Do you understand what I'm saying? But if you can make him have to read it, if you can make him have to read it and make the right read, even Lamar, with as many years as he's got right now, still pales in comparison with the experience and what he's seen. And if you can get exotic enough on him and show him something he hasn't seen, that might be just enough. Okay. And again, you got to blitz Lamar. Okay. Now Lamar, the rap on him before the game on Sunday against the Dolphins was that's how you beat Lamar. You blitz him. And of course, Mike McDaniels did his research. And so that's what he's doing. He's blitzing like there's no tomorrow, right? And Lamar is just beating him on it. He's beating him on it. He's beating him on it all day long. And so now I tend to feel like, yeah, but the Dolphins blitz ain't like a Browns blitz, not this year.
Yeah. No.
And, well, the Browns aren't.
I will say he's a good Alva. Coach, though.
Go ahead, Alva.
Yeah, I was going to say is the amount of people that the Browns are. Schwartz isn't hitting the line with full out. You know what I mean?
Right.
Rushes. They're more controlled. He will throw a safety or a linebacker in there.
Right, and then once in a blue moon, he'll throw the whole package at him because he's got the kind of DBs that can cover it. But he doesn't do it all the time. And when he sends everybody, they're definitely going down.
Yeah, because the Browns, and I thought this was atrocious because everyone says a quarterback got to get the ball out within 3 seconds, right?
Oh, yeah.
But the Browns get to the quarterback under 2 seconds.
Right. 1.9 seconds is your average time to the quarterback for the Browns.
Think about that now.
Get
out of here. The quarterback has to make a decision in 1.5 seconds.
Uh-oh.
That's crazy.
Here's some breaking news, guys, on the Browns. This is from 6:30 this evening on SB Nation, Dogs by Nature. Browns roster. Three moves leave roster spot available before week 18. Could Dalvin Cook or another vet be coming to the Browns for the playoff run? The ever-busy Cleveland Browns and GM Andrew Berry continue their process last week after clinching a playoff spot. On Thursday Night Football, the Browns signed quarterback Jeff Driskel off the Arizona Cardinals practice squad. To make room, the team released defensive end Sam Kamara from the active roster Tuesday. After all the Week 17 games had ended, Cleveland brought back Kamara, this time to the practice squad. The Browns released punter Matt Hack and offensive lineman Joey Fisher. So that tells you Bohorquez is coming back. An offensive lineman, Joey Fisher, from the practice squad, along with adding Kamara. Hack's release signals that punter Corey Bohorquez will be ready to punt in Week 18, but Berry only needed to release one player to make room for Kamara. Why two? So they have freed up a spot to bring somebody in. And I'll be honest with you guys. I think I would like to see him pick up Jarvis Landry, personally. But yeah. I have an intuition that he is going to jump on that Dalvin Cook bandwagon. He is. I think Andrew Berry is going to pick up Dalvin Cook. I just have a feeling.
I got a question for you, Paul.
What's that?
In you talking about Adamakam Sue, how realistic do you think that is? Could that happen?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that could happen. And Adamakam Sue has always said, now keep in mind, Adamakam Sue is doing color commentary on the NFL over in England for Sky Network. Okay? But the entire time he's been doing that, he has said, I want to play this year. I'm waiting until late, and I'm going to pick my spot. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, I'm going to be here commenting on the games. Okay? But Adamakam Sue, he ain't got a tank that holds enough fuel to take him through a whole season, but he would like another ring. And if Jim Schwartz were to call, if Jim Schwartz were to call Indomicon up and say, "Hey, Indomicon, it's time," he'd come. And all he needs is Andrew Berry's blessing to do that. Now they freed up a spot. Again, you got to ask yourself though: do the Browns need a guy on the line to kind of fill it out? And maybe, because, you know, it seems like every game, sometime during the game, number 99 goes down. Okay.
Yeah.
He has to come out of the game for a play or two. I praise Dominic his durability because he always comes back in, but, rotation is the key to the freshness of this defense. And if you could put Indomicon, big-bodied ass Adamakam Sue, in the middle on that line and be able to swap him out with Dalvin Tomlinson, how about that?
No shit.
You get that rotation going on.
What was you
going
to say, Alvin?
Alvin?
I believe, look, he's going to pick up two offensive linemen, and he has potential to beat a double team.
Absolutely.
I mean, what else can you say? Now, he's not going to be able to do that play in and play out, you know what I mean? But you put him in there in key situations, you know, second, third down or whatever, that's huge. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It'd be worth looking at. And it's, see, again, so that would be the trifecta. Again, let's see what Andrew Berry does here, because Andrew Berry still has something to say about this. Okay. All right. So let's see what he does. But the radar consists of the more than likely is either a Jarvis Landry or a Dalvin Cook. But there's the constant say, what about Indomicon Sue? What, you know, and listen, all of these things.
How much
things,
does he want?
Oh, Indomicon Sue, to get another ring, he'll take $750, I bet. He'll take a mil. You know?
Yeah. And I don't know if I want to give this thought any energy, but it the way his demeanor is, could you see him ending up on the Ravens? Oh my God.
Oh wait. Yeah, yes, you could absolutely see that. I mean, listen. If Indomicon Sue is gonna sign with anybody, it's going to be in the next week or two before the playoffs starts. Now, the earlier the better, because you need to get him in, you need to work him out, you need to fill him in. He needs to learn the playbook, the defensive playbook. Okay. Now, the nice part about Sue, and I was listening to Swaggoo on NFL Live today, and him being a former defensive lineman, he was like, you know, a lot of the teams that are having problems right now are the teams that are just going all out trying to get to the quarterback instead of playing technique.
Right.
And I tell you this one, this our team, even though we get to the quarterback with some regularity, Jim Schwartz is going to have you playing technique. And you're going to be able to stop different nuances. I mean, there are some offenses like, you know, just the way they run, take the zone read, run type of offense. You know, if you're going all out to try to get to the quarterback, they're going to burn you every time, okay? Because they're going to run right by you. And you have seen them in some teams basically have done this early in games. We'll use the Browns' defense's aggressiveness online against them. But the Browns do a very good job adjusting out of that when they need to. Okay? I mean, it doesn't happen all game long, or it hasn't so far this season. So, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, you rush, but you maintain your gaps. Yeah.
Right. Hang on. Well, that's it. If you're playing technique, definitely the first thing, if you're playing a technique type drill, player to player, it's gap assignment. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotta be.
You're responsible for this gap. Yeah.
Yeah.
So your zone blitz or whatever you call it.
Right. Yeah. Yes,
Steelers
sir.
Steelers are famous for that. They were good at it too.
And they did it mostly out of the linebacker position too. If you think about it,
whereas, I know, and all them linebackers come from Ohio.
Yeah, there was.
I'm just saying.
There was years and years of that. I watched that happen year in and year out. We got good Ohio players going to the Steelers and just giving us problems twice a year.
Oh no, yeah. Man.
Well, anyway, guys, we've talked enough about these guys. And Alva, I'd like to thank you for sitting in. This has been great. Bring back a lot of memories. Sorry that Jeffrey's connection didn't work out. We'll have to find out from him what exactly went on with that, because I mean, it was real bad. He'll know when he hears the recording what we were hearing, though, because we weren't getting full sentences. And he did try to come back in one time, but then he went away again, and I ain't seen him since. So we will, as we go out of here, we'll say goodbye for him. Again, this being the superstition episode, guys, tell me, what are you going to do for Wild Card Week from a superstition standpoint? Oh, are you going to wear your lucky underwear? Are you going to eat a special food? What are you going to do so that we beat the Ravens?
Beat the Ravens? Yeah. You mean the Bengals?
No, screw the Bengals. I don't care if we beat the Bengals.
Oh, you're talking about?
I'm talking about playoffs, baby. So, here's what I think. I think we're going to be playing the Texans in the wild card round. Honest to goodness, I think C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryan's D'Amico Ryan's led team is going to have a good game. I think we're going to be playing them. Honest to goodness, I just think that's what's going to happen, guys. I think, by the way,
I don't think that's wrong to think.
That's the opponent I least want. I would much rather play the Jaguars. I would much rather play the Colts. Okay. But we went to Texas and beat the Texans, but they did not have CJ Stroud that day. So
I say it doesn't matter. If we're going anywhere, bring him.
Right. Bring him on. That's it.
Bring him on. No.
We're going to have to run the gauntlet, guys, and that's it. And that's the only way the Browns are going to get it. It ain't going to be easy no matter what happens.
No.
Oh.
Nobody's going to give you shit.
Real quick.
Uh-huh.
Paul and Alva, the one thing that I've noticed, and I don't know if you've noticed this, and I don't know if it's all about Kevin or anything, I think it's a culmination of a whole lot of stuff. These guys, it's the key. They are believing. That's the thing. They're believing this is possible.
Okay, that's great. But that belief that this is possible, Alva, just the watchword is out there, Alva. You said it. As long as they don't start feeling themselves. They need to believe, but belief can very easily become moxie, which can very then easily become, you know, false sense of pride. And then you get your ass kicked. Okay.
Yeah.
You gotta put the work in, buddy. Gotta put the work in. And again, I love Stefanski's. You go 1-0 every week. That's it. I don't care if your goal is the Super Bowl. You got to handle it one game at a time, and you got to win that game before you can get to the next one. We fans can speculate down the road, but the Browns need to be looking at this week's opponent. Because in the case of this week, right, you know, no matter who they play, in the case of this week, they don't even know who next week's opponent is until this week is over. So no point in even thinking about that, right?
Right.
Well, having said that, it's now time to say this. This time, we get on out of Dodge. It's the Superstition episode. Episode 13, TBF, a Browns fans podcast. We've been happy to have you here. This is Paul, Alva, and Hugh, and Jeff in absentia for TBF. Until the next time. And what time's that? The time we come back to you and talk about the demoralization of the Cincinnati Bengals at home at the hands of the Cleveland Browns. Until then, we're out.
This has been a Basement Tapes production.